There's a tragic case out of Texas involving a little boy who's 7 years old, and frankly, he is a victim of a divorce custody battle, but the transgender issue is part of the confusion. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Dr. Michael Brown, who I think is one of the very best spokespersons from a Christian perspective on the whole issue of gender confusion in our time. Dr. Michael Brown is a Christian educator, a Christian broadcaster, and a Christian author as well as columnist. Dr. Brown, so great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Always great to be with you. Thanks, Jerry.
Sure. And you keep up with these kinds of issues, so let's focus on this particular case. For those who've been living in a cave for the last week or two, tell us what the story is.
Yeah, so there is a 7-year-old boy named James Younger. He is a twin brother he has. His mother and father are separated right now, and his mother claims that James identifies as a girl, that he's been interviewed by different medical professionals, and that they agree he has gender dysphoria, and that the best thing for him is to be called by a female name and to be sent to school wearing a dress, etc. The father vehemently opposes that, says it's absolutely wrong, says that you should have a wait-and-see approach, let the child grow up naturally as he is a male. A court in Texas ruled against the father, 11-1, remarkably enough. This got the attention of Governor Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, who began looking into this. There were charges that this is child abuse to do something like this, because the mother would also want to put the boy on puberty blockers, hormone blockers, to stop the onset of puberty, with the goal then to sex change surgery after that as the child got a little bit older. So the court ultimately has stepped in, while the father can't have input as well. So you're talking about a monstrous situation for this child. Is it going to be a girl with his mother and a boy with his father? Well, the father releases a video of the boy at 3 years old, and the dad's talking to the boy. 3 years old. Are you a boy or a girl? I'm a girl. Who told you that? Mommy told me that. Oh, really? Does mommy like to do other things? Oh, yeah, she puts me in dresses. And so it is absolutely cruel to the child. It is so terribly wrong. And just put yourself in the shoes of the parent when this is happening with your son. I met recently, just a couple months back in Canada. I was speaking at a Courageous Christianity conference in Vancouver, B.C., and I referenced the case of a 14-year-old girl whose father cannot stop her from getting hormone treatments to suppress her womanhood, and then he is not allowed to call her by her real name or speak to her as a girl, refer to her as female. He's not allowed to do it even in private. If he does and it's found out, he could be arrested. I referenced the situation, and lo and behold, he was there. I spoke with him face to face. Another situation where the husband and wife are estranged.
This is a Canadian.
This is in
situation.
Canada.
Yeah.
So you have it with a 14-year-old, where if he refers to his daughter as she, he can be arrested. So these things are outrageous. And look, Jerry, there's a big world out there. There are a lot of things going on. There are a lot of subjects I would love to focus on, just as you would. This is painful and difficult, and it gets so ugly. This is not what I look to. I'm a minister of the gospel. I would rather just talk to people about Jesus. But we're talking about real life issues here. You know, we're talking about, just a few days ago, a biological male wins the Female Athlete of the Week award.
Yeah.
And you say, what's so bad about that? Well, what about the women that didn't win it, and the one that maybe could have gotten a scholarship and works and sweats to be the very best she can be, and now she's beaten by a man? These are real life issues affecting people. And therefore, as Christians, we need to address them. We need to understand them. We need to address them with compassion, but with truth.
And anecdotally, I have run. I'm a very slow person, but just for the health of it and the fun, I've run many, many, many half marathons. And there's this one in particular I like to do in Naples. But they have this double back or whatever, where you'll go about maybe 5 miles and then you go back. So all the front runners, get to be seen by the people like me, the slowpokes, you know, and I've never, ever seen in the top 10, maybe even in the top 15, a woman. You know, maybe you'll see them in the top 20, but it's always men that are winning. And that's only within the first 5 miles of the run. Then, you know, this is a 13.1 mile run. Never do women you know, come in first. And it's not their fault. It's just, it's a biological thing. It's like somehow society is so smart, we're denying basic biology here.
Yeah, and the whole thing when it comes to sports, we're told, no, you see the male testosterone levels, that have to be lower for the person to compete as a female. Well, the first thing is, there are now situations with men playing women's rugby in England where referees have resigned out of fear that the men are going to hurt the women. And they're not allowed to ask, well, what's your testosterone level? They're not even allowed to ask. If they do, they'll be considered bigots. So even that, you know, what's your actual testosterone level, that is not going to be tested or asked in every situation the way it should. That's one thing. The other thing is, a major study, I believe, in Sweden analyzed this and came to the conclusion that even with lower testosterone, that the man still has certain biological advantages.
Yeah.
Look, is it any wonder that it's a big deal in the women's NBA, the WNBA, if a woman dunks? That's a big deal. You know, just body structure, bone structure, muscle,
right,
different things. It's different. And you got guys that are even inches shorter, and they're doing these monstrous dunks. You know, everybody in the NBA can dunk a million times with their eyes closed. And what? It's because men are different. They're bigger,
sure,
they're faster, they're stronger. They're not better. I mean, it's just biologically
different. Yeah. Hey, by the way, going back to my own personal anecdote, I just want it to be said for the record that I am so slow that the vast majority of the women running that 13.1 miles beats me most of the time. Okay, so going back to the overall issue, though, of gender dystopia, it's my understanding that even when kids feel questioning and so forth, that the vast majority of these issues get resolved by themselves by the time of puberty.
Yes.
And this is a critical point.
Yes, so if you leave it by itself, in other words, if you don't put the boy in dresses, if you don't call Joey Jane, if you don't encourage him in female or feminine types of activities or interests, and just, you know, let him have some of that tension and struggle and just reaffirm who he really is, that 80% or more will no longer feel that they're trapped in their own body after puberty. Conversely, from what I understand from leading psychologists, that if you encourage the transgender identity early on, that it's going to be much harder for them to break free later on. You might say, yeah, but, you know, a lot of the boys who identify as girls when they're 4, they don't identify as girls when they're 15, but a lot of them are gay. That's a whole separate issue then. That's a separate issue. But that's very different from putting that kid on hormone blockers to stop the onset of puberty. And there are dangers potentially with these drugs. There's very little testing that can be done way in advance. Look, the National College of Physicians in England, they put out a warning statement saying, look, we don't know about a lot of what we're doing here, and we need to slow things down and wait and see. Of course, transgender activists are outraged with them for saying that.
Yeah.
But even in today's politically correct climate, they're saying, okay, there's a problem here. Let's slow things down. And it's one thing if a 14-year-old boy identifies as gay, that's a whole lot different than he's had drugs in his body for years. He's been affirmed that he's actually a female. He ends up getting sex change surgery. That's a big difference. You now have a rash of what's called rapid onset gender dysphoria. That's how it's been described, especially among autistic girls.
Oh.
And you've got a girl, 14, 15, who suddenly says, you know, I'm actually a boy. And whatever issues she's having or be uncomfortable with her body or whatever it is, she's wrongly being told, oh, this is actually because you're transgender. And what's happening as a result is you've got girls now, 18 young ladies, 20 years old, and they've had mastectomies or they've had full-blown sex change, and they think, what did I do? I'm actually a woman. And we got some frantic emails from a friend – last year, my 16-year-old daughter suddenly is identifying as a boy. She's never done that before. And it turns out the school was encouraging it. It turns out, without even telling the parents, they were about to announce to the school that their daughter was now a boy and should be called by male names. When they pulled her out of that school, things changed. Her thinking got back to normal.
Wow.
But this is critical. This must be addressed. And who better to do it than God's people?
Well, we only have 4 minutes left, and I've got so much to ask you about. First of all, help me to understand. The jury voted against the father and in favor of the mother, in this case out of Texas, saying, yeah, this boy should be transitioned to a girl and call him a girl, call him a her. 11 out of the 12 jurors voted that way. Then I understand the judge voted differently, and the governor, of course, also disagreed with the jury. But how is it that the jury came up with that conclusion? Can you unpack this for us?
Well, there are a couple of things. There's the corporate madness in which we live today, in which Bruce Jenner is Woman of the Year, and we think, oh, isn't that wonderful? Where GQ magazine, the November edition, has a picture of a man wearing a long female gown, a dress, and it's called the new masculinity. So our culture is deeply, deeply confused. That's one thing. And this is the politically correct thing to do. The other thing is that when you have a mother saying that this is my son is really a girl, and the medical professionals back this up, and it just seems that dad's being bigoted, it's very easy to just get caught up in that moment and this is going to make him happy, and the caring mom and so on, and you get caught up in that emotion and you lose your common sense, you lose your thinking and your understanding. And then maybe you have a few people that are really progressive on the jury and others that are kind of easygoing, and you just push in this direction. You don't want to be bigoted. You don't want to be transphobic. You don't want to be primitive in your thinking. And before you know it, people have made a terribly wrong decision.
Okay, and what about the judge?
Well, it could be that the judge let common sense kick in. It could be that the judge realized you're tampering with the life of a little child here. You better be more careful. I didn't read in detail where he's coming from, but the outcry was deep enough. I mean, again, from the governor of the state, how often does he get involved in a case within Texas, that it must have sent some degree of shockwaves,
right,
and caused him to stand up and do the right thing. Let's also remember that there are medical professionals like Professor Paul McHugh, a longtime head of the psychology department at Johns Hopkins University and on various president's councils over the years, who said that any tampering biologically, chemically, medically, with a child before puberty is child abuse.
Wow.
And maybe people began to realize, wait, we're playing with fire here.
Yeah, I talked with one guy who said, you know what, listen, in about 5 to 10 years, there's going to be a whole bunch of lawsuits from some of these poor kids that were led astray by adults, and they were treated with all this kind of stuff, and then everything screwed up, that screwed up their whole life. What about this drag queen story hour? And we have about a minute to go.
Yeah, it's all symptomatic of the same thing. It's all part of what I refer to in my new book, Jezebel's War with America. It's a war on gender distinctions. It's a war on the role of the male, the role of the female. And then ultimately with that, it's a breakdown of the family and moms and dads. And this is how you destroy a society, by destroying the family.
Yes.
And then you go right to the very root, the differences between men and women. So you have the American Library Association supporting drag queens reading to toddlers in libraries. It is social madness. And when you speak out against it and say this is wrong, I don't want that example for my kids. One of the drag kings said, yes, we want to groom your kids. We want them to see the world differently. When you stand up against it, you're called a bigot. Let the world call us bigots, homophobes, transphobes. Let them do it. We must stand up for the sake of the next generation. We must stand up and do what's right.
Amen. Dr. Michael Brown, his new book is called Jezebel's War on America. Ask drbrown.org for more information. Dr. Brown, thanks so much for being with us again.
My joy. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye now.